Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
It was founded by a woman. Yes, most of the leadership team are women, but it's never been something that we've like cognitively set out to do. We do have a lot of male actors, and they bring perspectives. I think what matters to us is, I wish there was a better word than the buzzword of diversity, but it really does matter. And so, you know, gender aside, what we have are just a lot of different personalities.
Hi, folks. I would like to introduce myself. My name is Payal, and I am a traveler who also loves to meet people. And I think a blend of both is where this concept of melting pot has come about. In my Melting Pot series, I will be talking to lots of inspiring people from different parts of the world and also from different cultures, whom I meet during all my travels. The common factor between these folks will be the desire to follow their passion and make it a way of life. So step into this Melting Pot and enjoy the chats.
Hi everyone, today I am in conversation with Renji Randhawa, who's the founder and MD of Mad Hat Asia, Angeline Chandran, who's the general manager, Danielle Chow, who's the communications director, and so I have these three lovely women who are a part of Mad Hat Asia. So thank you so much for taking the time and joining me today.
Thanks for having us.
So I also, before you know, we kickstart the conversation, I just wanted everyone to know that Renji and Angeline are in Kuala Lumpur in Malaysia, and Danielle is in Singapore. So let's start with, what is the idea behind Mad Hat Asia? And I think, Renji, you'd probably be the one to answer that because you're the founder. So what really was the idea behind setting up Mad Hat Asia? That's one. And the second part of my question is, why Mad Hat Asia?
I think Mad Hat Asia, like the reason why I guess we've done what we've done, it's a different answer from why it was set up. It was actually set up, we started out to really just be able to earn a little money between myself and my first, I guess, partner or staff at the time. We really wanted to kind of just get back into communications after having been in corporate positions on our beginning of an entrepreneurial journey. But what really happened was, while I was doing a little bit of freelance with some clients at that time, we realized that there was just kind of this real gap of the way PR was being executed at that time. So clients kind of either had this choice of big, network kind of agencies in the PR firm, in the PR sphere, or they had just kind of like freelancers or very focused, service-driven, boutiques. And what we realized that the clients really appreciated was that at that time, we were coming in with just kind of like, okay, we're not going to talk about like what's specifically a press conference and all that. We want to talk about who your audiences are. We want to talk about what resonates with them. We want to talk about how your brand's going to resonate with them. And I think that was a bit of an approach that at that time, back in 2015, was not something that was very common in the approach of communications. So it's kind of strictly PR, was press conferences, press releases, media. And mind you, this during a time where influencer engagement was not as big as it was, as it is now. And so to be honest, Madhat just kind of grew from there. So, you know, one client grew to two, grew to four, grew to six. The team grew along with it. It started in a living room. And one day we found ourselves in an office and we're like, whoa, we're a real agency now, right? So yeah, that's kind of what it is. And I think why it's continued and why it's grown is because along the way, Madhat like has just met communicators of incredible talent who didn't quite agree with the way sometimes it's being executed. Like, to be able to be a communication practitioner, most of the time, if you're in an agency, it comes with a lot of the challenges that comes with agency. And, you know, you've got the issues of work-life balance and that kind of thing. So we really kind of really set our focus on how do we execute this in a way where we can do what we love in communications, but be able to set our own boundaries in doing it, and really be able to add value to the work that we're putting out. And I think that's just been the driving force of why we've kept growing and why we've kept doing it. But yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. So
yeah,
you mentioned like when you started in 2015, there was the whole influencer influence was not really a part of the scenario, right? But that seems to have changed over the years. So anyone who wants to take this, how important is that aspect of social media in today's you know, PR and communications world for your clients specifically?
I'll take that. So I think for me, from the beginning of when social media was even kind of a thing, a medium to kind of communicate, was probably maybe about 10, 12 years ago, you know, with the birth of Facebook, or rather the boom of Facebook, right? And at that time, I think everybody was kind of scrambling to kind of figure out how, marketers at least, were scrambling to kind of figure out how to utilize this very powerful tool. And at that time, you know, it was kind of a bit of a wild, wild west, because there weren't kind of boundaries, there weren't governance, and not much avenues to kind of use the platform to advertise, right? So it was kind of organic. But then when it eventually was monetized, was when marketers kind of started taking things very seriously. But even at that time, 10, 12 years ago, I remember speaking to my colleagues back then and saying that, hey, you know, it's funny that social, that there is a separate component called social media or social media agencies who are actually kind of championing this component of communications, when actually PR people are in an optimal position to do so. Because what we do is we craft narratives. And we craft, you know, directions in terms of communication. We put out what we think is best for the brand and what meets the needs of consumers, right? So for that reason, we should be the one kind of being the custodians of social media. But then, you know, obviously that's not how it happened. Obviously the advertising boys were really smart and actually capitalizing it and opening up social media kind of divisions within the organization. And there was the birth or surge of social media agencies after that. But here we are now in 2022, where I feel that, you know, a lot of PR practitioners and communicators are actually empowered to then take ownership of their social media space in terms of narrative and communications. And yes, it's a very, very crucial component 12 years ago, and it's an even more important component in the comm sphere now. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'd like to add on to that, actually. I've had a friend who's been in the, I mean, I've been in the industry for like, you know, 10 over years. And I have friends who started out with me, and she can basically tell me that when we're basically looking now at campaigns that require no media whatsoever, it's all just purely influencers. And it's a very nice evolution of how influencers have been growing. We started first with the bloggers, where they had a blog spot, you know, Squarespace, whatever they were using at that point of time. And that slowly became Facebook, and then now Instagram, and now TikTok. So, and you can see the shift in demographic going as the space evolves. So it's very interesting to see what will probably come up next in the future generations as well. But as PR practitioners, we have to evolve along with it as well.
Yeah, I think that's very, very important, because you need to also, I feel that you know, there, and in fact, I was going to ask about the difference between a PR agency and an advertising agency. So I think somewhere you've kind of answered that for me, because, you know, the roles are similar, but correct me if I'm wrong, but still different in terms of, you know, the engagement that a PR agency would have with the client versus an advertising agency, right?
I could elaborate on that in my own terms and my own words. Is that we are similar yet different, you're right. And I think a lot of the differences lie in the way things are communicated and the platform that is used to communicate. So in its traditional sense, PR predominantly look at stakeholder relationship. And the stakeholder relationship in this part of the world is narrowed down predominantly to media and now influencers, right? And sometimes, beyond just media and influencers, there are other stakeholders that we build relationships with. And then of course, advertising focus a lot on the mass communication, especially when it comes to, you know, promotional driven items where you want to kind of promote something and you want to promote to the masses. It's kind of very much a larger comms direction that is kind of pushed out to a larger group of people. Now, the if I had to break it down further, in exactly what the difference is a bit of a push and pull. So with advertising, the focus is very much pushing content, pushing messages, pushing promos, to kind of, from a brand point of view, I'm going to push this out because this is my focus in terms of getting the message out there. When it comes to comms and PR, the focus is very much pull. I lure you with interesting content. I lure you with interesting messages. I lure you with human interest stories. So that's the difference, the glaring difference between advertising and PR per se.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah. So what you're saying, it's more mass and, you know, versus more. Yeah, correct. More content led rather than more brand promotion led. Right. That's interesting.
And it's a really nice, like, thought, like, question that you have, because it's always been something that we've struggled with a little bit. Like, what is PR? And it's, to be honest, something that we still ask every candidate that we speak to, like, what's PR to you? Or even clients that we speak to before we take on a project, because it has evolved so much over like year on year, month on month, right? And so we got to the stage where internally as well, we're like, are we even a PR agency? Because there are certain clients who still see PR agency as earned media, press releases, you know, that's what you do. When really internally, when we kind of searched, we realized that we do what we do because our role is to connect with the right audiences, with the right messages. It's building the narratives of the brand and how is it that we connect with them. So, traditionally.
Yeah, so yeah. It's more, so you're saying that it's more targeted.
It is. And I guess driven with authenticity, the lack of a better word. As opposed to I'm pushing to you what I'm trying to tell you, I'm going to connect with you on what matters to you. Yeah. I think at the core of it, that's what we feel we do. Identifying the right platforms to do it in and how it is we're connecting to spark conversations.
So it's very, very important for you to actually understand the brand, the ethos of the brand, and who the target audience is going to be, rather than just saying, okay, I'm going to splash, you know, oh, you've got money. Great. I'm going to splash Let's go wild. Yeah, let's go crazy. Let's just go on every single platform, whether it has the impact or not, doesn't really matter. So I get that. Okay, so just moving away a little bit from that, my understanding is that Mad Hat Asia is a women-led PR agency, right?
In effect, but not by design.
Not by... So can you explain that?
I can start, but we're definitely not a agency or a collective who aim to be women led. Yes, it was founded by a woman. Yes, most of the leadership team are women, but it's never been something that we've cognitively set out to do. We do have a lot of male actors, and they bring perspectives. I think what matters to us is, I wish there was a better word than the buzzword of diversity, but it really does matter. Gender aside, what we have are just a lot of different personalities. There happen to be women in the leadership positions, but it hasn't been the way we've wanted to design it necessarily.
Okay, so it just happened organically.
And it has.
Yeah, okay, that's interesting. That's interesting. Okay, so then I'm going to, because I had a few thoughts, which I thought, I would kind of get you to probably move in that direction, but I think we'll move away because...
I do think that, having women in leadership positions have had, at least I feel it's benefits, as there are with men in leadership positions as well. But, just going back to kind of our goal of being in a working environment, building a working environment that we want to be in, personally speaking, it has helped me be able to lead with empathy and understanding, I guess, of what a woman needs in a workplace as well, and how to approach things. So simple things of, all three of us are mothers. Danielle was, but Angie and I weren't when we first started. And so we've kind of grown with the company and been able to build policies that are friendly towards families and all that kind of thing. So it's had its benefits.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
In that sense.
Okay. So what are some of the challenges that you do face? In a more broader sense, some challenges that you face, and how have you been able to overcome those?
Wow, there's a lot there. That's I think we're all going which challenge?
I thought, okay, who's going to take this one?
Narrow that down. but go ahead, ladies.
Okay, sure. I'll take this first from my perspective. Well, there have been a lot of challenges, and I think some of the challenges are no longer challenges, that, crops up new challenges. So, but I think some of the key challenges we're faced, as business owners, is one key one that I've noticed is talent. it's very kind of hard to find good talent within the industry. And I think right now this seems to be a common problem across board, not just, you know, in the PR agency sense, but just, you know, in general, with everyone I'm speaking to seems to have is a common issue. Another challenge that I feel that was a lot more glaring in the beginning when we first started, but, you know, has evolved right now is, you know, people's understanding of PR. Like Renji said, what is PR? I mean, like, different people have different versions of it. And like I said, in this part of the world, it was predominantly media relations. So we've kind of been pigeonholed into doing that component of the marketing umbrella, right? But then coming out of that with the digitalization of things and having to evolve, you know, that also means that, you know, we as comms practitioners have also evolved over time, which means our capabilities, our understanding, the application of comms and narrative have also evolved, and it is applicable in a wider sense. And it's actually getting people to understand that, educating people about the usage of comms and how to effectively use comms and how to work better with communicators within the agency setting. Has been one of our biggest challenge. It still is, but I think that people are a lot more savvy these days with understanding the usage of comms and how to utilize agencies better. But that has been that has always been a struggle from my perspective.
Okay.
Yeah, one challenge I would say that, you know, MedHat has really taken care of and has overcome is really, you know, work-life balance and work-life harmony. In that sense, like, we know, we all have had the stories where, you know, because you're working from home, that line between what you do at work and what you do at home is completely blurred. You're working to like 10 p.m. You don't know when to stop. That's what you've been doing. Your kids start budging into meetings because, you know, they're at home. There's nothing you can do about it. Or kids are sick and things like that. So it's really helpful to be in that we've come up with policies. And our ethos and our philosophy is that it's on based on empathy, it's based on flexibility, it's based on knowing what you as an individual need in your life and helping to craft policies around that.
Okay, so yeah, so basically work-life balance is something that, you know, you've thought through and have put policies in place that help to have that balance, right? And yeah, sorry, go ahead, Danny. Okay, yeah, okay. Okay, so, you know, there's now that people are getting familiar with, you know, being in PR and communications, what are some, you know, some guidelines is not really the right way to put it, but from your experience, what do you think people should be looking out for if they really want to get into PR and communications, the positives of it? And, you know, because it clearly is a growing industry and it's sort of maturing, and you know, there are agencies like yourselves and there are others as well. So if someone wants a career, what are some sort of suggestions and some kind of feedback that you could have for them?
I don't know if it's if this is specific to PR, I guess, but like, what I would say is really, really important is to understand why they are looking at it, for what reason. And I think that that has evolved over the years. Again, I remember, like, you know, when Angie and I were practicing PR like 15 years ago together or something, you know, there was that connotation where it was a lot of glam. There was, you know, a lot of it was parties and celebrities and all that kind of thing. And I would start telling newbies that it's a lot of heavy lifting. And then they realized that I meant that literally, because you are lugging press kits and goodie bags and chairs across the room, right? In your little black dress. But, you know, we did see people coming into it for, not to say the wrong reasons, but not with a full understanding of why they're going into it. So I don't think it only applies to PR, but I think anyone looking into getting into any industry needs to kind of understand why they want to and have certain expectations. Because, you know, if you don't have expectations, you don't know what you're trying to work towards. And that can always change later. I think like in the current state, not so much like what they should look out for, but I think in practice would be to ensure that they're acting in a manner that is that they can buy into, to speak on things that they do believe in. Because I think one thing that I've seen time and time again is if a communicator doesn't believe in what they're saying, it shows.
Yeah, it doesn't come through. Yeah.
It really shows, you know. And to be fair, like I talk about diversity, but the reason why we put so much emphasis in having a team that's very, very diverse and encouraging that diversity to come through is because it doesn't only mean that we need to understand our brands. What's even more important is we need to understand the people we're talking to. And what I love is that at MAP, there is someone here who resonates with everything, whether it's sneakers or anime or really good hair care, right? But like we can resonate with it. Mothers, fathers, across the board. If you're in it for the wrong reason, no matter the career, it's gonna fall flat. And I think PR and communicating is a very personal thing. You connect to people by telling your truth and what you believe in. So if you're not really into it, it's not really gonna work out.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah,
I think the word communication is in itself suggesting that that is a very, very important component in the job that you're doing. So yeah, interesting. Anything else that anyone would like to add before we wrap up? Any sort of perspectives, anything at all? Oh, before that, any campaign that has really been something which has given you immense satisfaction? All your clients are important to you, so I get that. But any one campaign that you feel was really, really special for whatever reason?
Danielle, do you have anyone that stood out that has stood out to you of late?
I wanted to say Levi's because it is a very, very fun brand. You know, it's a really fun client to work with. It speaks to it's a very strong, obvious version of public relations, which is consumer relations, it's lifestyle fashion, working with big with celebrities to dress them, working throwing big parties, to drive positive associations with the brand and everything. So being able to work on Levi's is very satisfying on its own, just because you are able to work with such a big brand like that and being able to touch so many different facets of public relations is very interesting.
Also I wanted to ask, because you're based in Singapore and Renji, you and Angelina based in KL, is there, and that's where you have your two offices, right? I mean, you do work with other in other parts of Asia, but your two main offices are in Singapore and KL. What is the one difference that you see in the approach in KL versus in Singapore? The approach of the clients, the approach of how it's done. Is there like similarity, or are there differences? And if there are differences, just one difference that really stands out in the way people approach the business aspect of it.
Interesting that you bring this up, because I think Danielle brought up something that was that I didn't think of as a key difference in this market, is that obviously the scale of the markets are different. I mean, we are a larger country in Malaysia and in a smaller country in Singapore. But the one thing that stood out to her, at least, is the language, right? Because we have multiple languages here that we speak. And most of our materials or whatever comms materials that we draft and we write and we produce are then translated and produced in different languages to then reach a larger audience, right? So that, you know, nothing gets lost in translation. And that's not a common practice in Singapore, because English is predominantly language in Singapore, right? So that was one key one that she had brought up when I was speaking to her last month when I was down. And I think from a client's perspective and just kind of dealing with the different clients, there isn't that much of a difference, to be absolutely honest. But I think in both markets, there's a lot of appreciation for creativity. And both markets are actually equally hungry for, you know, what's the next new thing? What's the next hot thing? So it's, I feel like both markets operate quite similarly. Now, obviously, outside of Malaysia and Singapore, things are a lot more different in comparison. So that's why if I had to compare both markets, it seems very similar in the way we operate, in the way we think, in our desire for what we want to see come out of the marketing industry. Pretty similar.
Yeah, and the content works as well across both markets.
Okay.
That needs to be localized, of course, like, you know, saying, for example, language, like just colloquialisms, you know, the content is the same. So that means, you know, people's want for emotional needs, authenticity, what they want, it's the same across Singapore and Malaysia.
Okay, interesting. Thank you for that. Thank you. Okay, Renji, anything you'd like to add?
No, I mean, maybe not so much on the Malaysian and Singapore differences. Like, I feel like we are quite culturally close. Anything, you know, that there are just nuances, I suppose. But what we do find is, you know, very big differences client to client. And we find that becomes really the driving force on how it is that we work with a partner. So, you know, if we're working with the same client from one country to the other, we don't see that the account works very differently. So we find the Malaysian-Singapore thing is not such a big factor, but we do see how important corporate culture is. And that has been a very big learning for me over the last 5 to 6 years, because we can see how much, I guess, a work environment shapes the way everyone kind of works. So that tends to be the bigger thing. Like, you know, it can be a certain brand, and whether you're dealing with someone from LA or India or Singapore, that tends to actually seep through in the way people work. And that's been really, really interesting. So we've had to learn to adapt our communication styles based on that, being able to identify the client fit and the communication style and be able to build the partnership that way.
Okay, interesting. Thank you. Thank you so much. It's been very, very insightful talking to the three of you, and good luck to Mad Hat Asia, and, you know, and hopefully you're going to expand, and the next time I speak with you, you probably have offices in other parts of Asia as well. And I can see the passion, the drive, you know, and the authenticity of what you're trying to do. It absolutely comes through in this conversation. So thank you once again. And I've really enjoyed this. And Angeline, as you can see, whether I talk to one person or I talk to multiple guests, it doesn't really matter. So thank you so much. I've really, really enjoyed this and I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Yeah, thank you so much for having us. I really enjoyed the session also.
Thank you.
For more weekly conversations, do listen to Melting Pot on Spotify, Apple and Google Podcasts. Follow us on YouTube and on Instagram at Podcast Melting Pot. So until the next episode, this is Payal signing off.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.